Movies from Hollywood's golden age make us laugh or cry so readily that it's been hard for many people to credit them with being more than entertainment. There certainly can't be art. A new DVD release of Preston Sturges' backstage comedy, Sullivan's Travels, is the occasion for film critic Henry Sheehan to examine that issue.
Is it art or entertainment? Do we respond to the exaltations of the muses or the demands of the bankers? Hollywood has always been bedeviled by these questions, and not just on the inside, where directors and writers face off against producers and executives. Even audiences wonder whether the comedy they're laughing at is a proper response to a world in torment. Imagine how fraught a problem that was in 1942, when the U.S. was not only at war, but the Great Depression was not yet a memory. Oddly, this date marked the midpoint of one of the greatest roles in comedy history, the seven movies the writer-director Preston Sturges made between 1940 and 1944. It was then Sturges made Sullivan's Travels, a comedy about an A-list Hollywood director who decides he's tired of making lighthearted frolics like Ants in Your Pants of 1939. He wants to make a political drama called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?, based on the struggle for social survival. In one of the funniest scenes ever made for movies, and in a perfect example of Sturges' gift for dialogue, the director John Sullivan, played by Joel McRae, tries to convince two studio executives, played by Robert Warwick and Porter Hall, of the wisdom of his desire.
You see the symbolism of it? Capital and labor destroy each other. It teaches a lesson, a moral lesson. It has social significance.
Who wants to see that kind of stuff? It gives me the creeps.
Tell them how long it played in the music hall.
It was held over a fifth week.
Who goes to the music hall? Communists.
Communists? This picture's an answer to communists. It shows we're awake and not dunking our heads in the sand like a bunch of ostriches. I want this picture to be a commentary on modern conditions, stark realism, the problems that confront the average man.
But with a little sex.
A little, but I don't want to stress it. I want this picture to be a document. I want to hold a mirror up to life. I want this to be a picture of dignity, a true canvas of the suffering of humanity.
But with a little sex in it.
With a little sex in it.
How about a nice musical?
How can you talk about musicals at a time like this, with the world committing suicide, with corpses piling up in the street, with grim death gargling at you from every corner, with people slaughtered like sheep?
Maybe they'd like to forget that.
Then why do they hold this one over for a fifth week at the music hall? For the ushers?
It died in Pittsburgh.
Like a dog.
What do they know in Pittsburgh?
They know what they like.
If they knew what they like, they wouldn't live in Pittsburgh. That's no argument.
Sullivan's Travels is not a forgotten or lost film by any means. No movie with dialogue like that could vanish from cinematic memory. But a recent DVD release of the film from Criterion, complete with a documentary about Sturges and some old tape of him singing at his home piano, suggests that it's a richer movie than generally believed. It's much more than a cynical, if hilarious, retort to privileged filmmakers who would assume to speak for the downtrodden. Sullivan's Travels is actually a modern-day Candide, only the apparently worldly director turns out to be the naive traveler, and his experienced guide is a young woman disappointed in an acting career. Sullivan meets the girl, played by pouty-voiced, peekaboo blonde Veronica Lake, in the film's middle portion. It's a joke, of course, that the girl never in fact gets a name, a clue that Sturges is breaking his movie down into bits of convention so that he can build it up again. Over the next half hour, the girl teases the director out of his self-congratulatory pomposity and, through love, brings him to a more humane selflessness. But Sturges' ideas of comedy had a classical bent. Sullivan has anchored the gods with his pride, and he must be brought down low. And so the movie's final third is dark and somber, though, like the rest of the movie, loaded with irony. Sullivan mistakenly ends up sentenced to a southern prison work camp, a familiar film setting of the 1930s. There he learns that abstractions like justice, an abstraction he thought he could put on film, have no meaning outside of concrete human experiences, and that laughter seems to be the key to all of them. A brass-knuckled satirist, Sturges attacked American pieties about sex and politics with an unmatched fervor. But a satirist needs double vision, one eye to keep on humanity's foibles, another to fasten on its possibilities. In Sullivan's Travels, in a time of national struggle and fear, Sturges could see both without ever getting cockeyed.
Film critic Henry Sheehan lives in Los Angeles.